As it says in the bulletin, my sermon will be about fallout. Now, fallout is what happened after God destroyed the world in a flood. It is the aftermath of a disaster, usually nuclear. However, it has another definition. I learned about this definition in Sunday school at my cousin's Southern Baptist church, so this definition may not completely align with our theology. Their youth minister described fallout as what happens when you stretch your faith too thin by taking on too many responsibilities at church. Whether it that being trying to pray for an hour every day or trying to read multiple books of the Bible in a very short amount of time. Instead of doing more and instead of growing your faith, you end up shrinking it. This means you have a net negative in faith. Now, while I think what he said has a lot of merit, I'm going to expand upon this idea of fallout because I think there are many issues that cause fallout from the church, not just trying to be too good of a Christian. Especially in this region of the country, fallout or religion can have a negative connotation. This has especially affected me. Thus, my religion is something that I have grappled and struggled with for some time. I can now confidently state that I am a Christian in every sense of the word. But if you had asked me the same question, "Are you a Christian?" 2 years ago, my answer would not have been so concrete. My grandma, who you all know, has lived with me essentially my whole life. In those 17 years, she has been strict on very few things. However, for my whole life, she has stayed her ground on the issue of religion. My parents, who have both chosen atheism after a childhood of Christianity, were never 100% supportive of this. But my grandma stayed steadfast in her determination that I must at least be exposed to the Bible, the church, and the Christian way of life from a young age so that I could eventually make an educated decision when choosing religion or atheism. None of this is to say that I never enjoyed church or that I disliked reading Bible stories. As a child, I loved hearing about biblical miracles. Moses, Daniel, and David were some of my favorite superheroes, saving the world with the power of God. I loved going to Sunday school, loved my teachers and my classmates. I looked forward to it every week, but I never felt a true connection to God or any higher power, which made me doubt in the deep recesses of my heart the existence of such a being. I knew that people spoke about hearing God's voice or seeing God in a dream or being visited by angels, but I never experienced that. Because of this, I felt like maybe God didn't like me, or maybe he wasn't even real. Our church does not preach a gospel of hate or give us many rules to follow, like the churches of some of our more extreme relatives. It simply says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The loving my neighbor part came easily and naturally. As a child, I never had trouble sharing. Giving has always been one of my favorite activities, and helping people fills my heart with joy. My trouble came with the first half of the Great Commandment, because I did not feel God's presence in my life. This was not helped by the fact that at this time of self-reflection, I went to visit my cousins, whose church preaches a gospel very different from our own. I also attended churches in that time that follow many rules and spend much of their time speculating on who will or will not go into heaven. For example, I listened to a pastor who has determined that neither the Jews, nor the atheists, nor those who do not evangelize will reap the benefits of the afterlife. This was hard for me to hear, as I was struggling with my religion, not only because I now had to fear for my parents' souls, but more so because I had never heard this extrapolated from the same Bible I had read as a child. I heard words that were taken from the Bible that I had grown up with and twisted in a way that I no longer recognized. I mulled and prayed over this doubt for weeks and months. I stayed up late into the night praying that God would send me a sign that he was real and that he was listening to me and was in my life. And eventually, I came to feel the peace that surpasses all understanding, referenced in Philippians 4:7. I knew both that I need not worry about these things that are out of my control, but also that God had been listening to me and was sending me a message. I cannot explain for the life of me how I felt God's presence. I did not hear a voice. I did not dream a dream. I was not visited by angels. I just felt deep within my heart that God was finally listening. I know that this situation and these feelings cannot be unique to me. I know for a fact that there are many, many young Christians, especially in this region of the country, who are falling out from the church. I also know that at school, saying that you go to church has become taboo because so many people associate all Christians and all Christianity with the actions of a hateful minority. I also know that this was foreseen in the Bible by Jesus. The parable Johnny read is not only about making sure that we grow our faith in the best climate possible, it is also about making sure we move the seeds from the path or the bramble, onto fertile ground, where they have the best chance to grow. If you garden, you know that you have to plant a couple seeds, two or three, to get one that will eventually sprout. This is the same with modern Christianity and modern evangelism. If our church was to only evangelize to one person, we would not have a 100% chance of fishing a man. However, if we cast our nets wide, we will have a greater chance of yielding a greater catch and following what Jesus told us to do when he said, "Be fishers of men." We must also strive to not lose a single Christian to fallout. Personally, I have a relatively easy time telling if someone needs to be comforted. Some people may have a God-given gift for seeing when someone just needs a smile, but we must strive in every way to be God's angels on earth, whether that is smiling at everyone you pass on the street or taking the time to chat with someone who looks a little down. We do not know if maybe our small action could be the sign from God that that person was looking for. Lastly, I just want to point something out. Every year during Vacation Bible School, it rains at least one day, every year. And instead of having recreation outside in the courtyard, we go down to the stinky gym. I don't know how many of you have gone down there, but as the musk wafts into your face, there's an interesting sign on the wall. It says Fallout Shelter. Now, I hope you see that our gym should not be the only fallout shelter in this building. We, as a church, should be a fallout shelter. When someone questions their faith, we want to be the people that they turn to. We want to be able to say, without a doubt, that God loves you, no matter what, because you never know how much of an impact that might have on someone's life. Thank you.